to come to your service here today, but above all, we're glad, Lord, you've given us desire in our hearts, which is really a supernatural desire to come to be around your word, to meditate upon it, to receive it, and to receive, we believe, the life that is in it. And we pray, Lord, in this hour, as this subject is so serious, that you'll help our minds and to be illuminated by the Holy Ghost in our souls to receive revelation, our lives to produce it, because as Brother Banner said, he waited so many years, so long to bring this forth, and it was at that time a tremendous sermon. It had to be part of the seals, without a doubt, part of the thunders, Lord. And because it is, we appreciate that. We know that he said it was, because in it he revealed the true baptism with the Holy Ghost, showed us these things. And so we know we're on very important ground this morning, Lord, and may we stand on that ground and be part of that same ground, just as we stand on Christ, become part of that rock. We love you this morning, Lord, because you first loved us. We know our love is not deep like yours. Everything about us, Lord, is except what you gave us of yourself, is basically very inferior. We don't even have anything to commend us to even use what you've given us. We just like those in the garden, spoil it. Through every age has been spoiled, but Lord, we know your grace and mercy and thank you for it, and believe you hear our prayer and help us this day. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now this is number 6 on the token, and in our studies of this message, we cannot help but realize that this last church age differs from the rest. The seventh church age is very different from all other ages. The difference is that this age has something added to it, which the other ages could not receive, especially due to the time element in the purpose of God to present to himself a bride without spot and wrinkle. Now that's what you must understand we're saying. It's not just this age is different, God added something to it. See, you have to keep in mind that God had a specific purpose in mind, which is to present to himself a bride without spot and wrinkle, and that has to do with redemption, and this is the hour of culmination. Now, what has been added could only come at the evening time, and when it does come, redemption for the church closes out. However, when we speak of redemption closing out, we are not speaking negatively, for the closing out, though judgmental in character, comes from a great positive, which seals in the bride and takes her out in a rapture. So what we're talking about here then, what is added, is the seal which was not added previously. It could not come till evening time. So you're being acquainted with material that is not formerly known, and you will not find in books of theology. It is a definitive revelation that comes through a prophet at the end time, a prophet like unto Moses and the stature of Jesus Christ. And that prophet bringing us under the seven seals, the seven thunders, is thundering out something that is going on, obtainable, not only obtainable to the bride, but is a literal must. Brother Branham says in Stature of Perfect Man, in the evening time it shall be light. That's evening time. That's when this great seal is added. That's when comes Christ, the Holy Spirit, Jesus. Now notice what he says, Christ, Holy Spirit, Jesus, comes down, then comes Christ, the Holy Spirit, Jesus comes down and sets himself at the head of the church, then he will resurrect this church being his own body. Now right away, there is an addition. See, that's 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord himself shall appear from heaven, descend them with a shout, the voice of the archangel, trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Also, quoting from the token, the hour is here when the token himself is identifying himself right amongst us and proving that he is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, that's Hebrews 13:8, and he is right with the word, which means he exactly according to the prophetic scripture. Now there's something again that people don't realize. This also comes under the seals, at the seventh seal, which has the seven thunders. According to Brother Branham, the token is Jehovah, is the Holy Spirit, is Elohim, is God. No, he's not all 5, 6, 8, or 100 of them. Those are titles. They have to be titles because, as Brother Branham explained in the great drama of God, something like Macbeth, when under Shakespeare, and it's being done today too, where people take dual roles and dual characters. They simply act out the part, but being the same person. So therefore, when you speak of Jehovah, he is the Holy Spirit. When you speak of Elohim, he is Jehovah. And when you speak of God, he is Holy Spirit. He is Elohim, he's El, he's El Elah. He's all of those, see? Lily of the Valley, the Rose of Sharon, the Son of Man, Son of God. God, he is God. God personally taking over, as in Genesis 18, just before the fire falls, personally appearing, as he did in the garden, not to start but to finish. The Alpha is the Omega. God identifying himself personally by appearing in this hour, even allowing a picture of the reflection of his glory to be taken as an antitype of how he showed himself at Sinai in the exodus of Israel preparatory to migrating into Canaan. Not just sending his power into the church. Uh-huh. See, that's where people are fooled right today. They want to equate it and level it and sort of distribute it around the people and say, what a great church. Huh. Well, we have thoughts about that. Not just sending his power into the church, but he himself appearing. Here is God vindicating a prophet who is to reveal the hour of the covenant promise. Not just the hour of the promise, but the promise itself. And bring a message of instruction, restoration, to make ready a bride. Why do I use instruction? Because that's what it is, to give understanding. He has to follow the mold of John. God, the great token, has appeared and is giving in this last hour a measure of himself as a token to every elected one for a prerequisite to the rapture. Every member of the bride or body of Christ is individually sealed by the Holy Spirit baptism, and then the great token or seal himself, sealing the last age bride in. The doors in this age are to be shut with the bride inside of the wedding supper chamber. All right? Now, all through this message, Brother Branham keeps making the point we have just put forth. The token himself is here. He is appearing. It is evening time, and he could only come now, because there would be no purpose in him coming before. Because then it would destroy the plan and purpose of Almighty God in the presentation of a bride. See? Now, it is resurrection and supper time. It is manifesting time. But no matter how great the proof and how much one is convinced of it, without the life of the token itself in us as our own personal possessed token, we will not go in the rapture. Now, Brother Branham is warning there because, you see, that spirit is amongst us. Now, you say, well, how is it? It's simple as ABC. Lutherans think they got Luther, they're going in. Methodists think they've got Wesley, they're going in. Pentecostals speaking in tongues, they think they're going in. They're not going in. Now, you see what it is? They're arrogating to themselves the understanding that this is wonderful, that they have, because they know that Jesus died for their sins. And they know that there's a rebirth or there's something in a spiritual concept that they're depending on that's going to get them there. And everybody's got his own little thing, which is church joining and a certain type of baptism, a certain type of speaking in tongues, a certain this and a certain that, and it's all gone. And the people come along and say, well, I believe Brother Branham. There's no, oh my, I believe you. Well, you just got to know there's something there. And I believe really that there's something of the caliber of Moses and Paul there. Yeah, I believe that. And I believe that God is doing something great. There's no two ways about it. So I'll have you receive the Holy Ghost. Oh, sure. How do you know? Well, what do you think of this message? Well, I really don't know about that. You see, that spirit is a lukewarm spirit. It's not hot or cold. Cold means get out, get away. The token seekers, that's not the right way, really. It's those that are the oil seekers. That's the term I wanted. The oil seekers are a lukewarm people, though they have a very hot nature for the wrong thing. And they have a cold nature for the right thing. Now, that lukewarmness is typical Laodicea. And amongst us can be people, especially those who are coming up under their parents, who have had genuine relationships with God, can say, well, look, that's all I've ever believed. That's wonderful, but have you been filled with the Holy Ghost that you know? Now, I know, I realize there's no sensation with it. There's no exterior signs and all. You see, what am I going to depend on? Then what were you before that happened, and where are you progressing now in the Word of God? See? Now, we're going to have to get into that this morning. I hope I can do it within an hour, because that's all I want to take. But we must watch this. Now, but no matter how great the proof and how much one is convinced of it, in other words, you've seen the proof, you've seen everything, the ministry, and you say, that's got to be it. Without the life of the token itself in us as our own personally possessed token or seal or sign, we will not go in the rapture. The Father is appearing and is standing amongst His children. All His children are being marked and sealed by God's own light, and they alone are given the garments for the wedding supper. Now, in this message, Brother Branham speaks forcefully of the manifested life of the living God who is appearing amongst us as He is supposed to do according to Matthew 12. He is supposed to come to the Gentiles and do in the form of the Holy Spirit exactly what He did when He was here in the form of flesh. Now, remember, He went back to a pillar of fire, and the pillar of fire has to have a prophet. So, therefore, we have Elijah at the end time. And He and God is here amongst us. We do not see the pillar of fire. He allowed us to take a picture of the reflection. That is true. We understand that. But He Himself is appearing amongst us. And we understand that. We appreciate it very much. And we say we believe that. This is the premise, the basis for our understanding of the doctrine. But Brother Branham also speaks forcefully of a life that is to be lived by each member of His body. In some places, there is no doubt that only Brother Branham's own personal ministry of power and authority is revealing that life. Now, let's understand that. You've got to get that in your minds, because I'm going to the Stature of Perfect Man pretty soon, and I'll be reading from it. And in there, you're going to find the constant switching back and forth, prophet to people, prophet to people, prophet to people. And where the prophet qualifies, you and I don't qualify. Get out of his hair. See? Like he kept telling people, run interference for me, don't interfere with me. Why, when somebody is given the ball by God, does everybody have to tackle the man with the ball and try to get the ball away? You know? Like I told you one time, I was looking at the seals and the thunders, and so I wrote Brother Branham a note one time, and I said, Brother Branham, are not the seven thunders, seven great mysteries, which some of which are so-and-so, and I named them. And in a big, beautiful, bold handwriting, which I would have saved because they're very cute, he wrote back and he said, yes, but hold your peace, the time is not now. I looked up in the Hebrew and Greek what that is. It literally means keep your nose out of my business. That's putting it vulgar. Now, he would never say a thing like that. But I'm telling you this morning that this is what we're running across. Keep your nose out of what's not your business, and put your nose and your whole head and your whole being into what is your business. See, we have a propensity of trying to run things, run somebody else. You know, it's just no good. This is this rotten Laodicea corrupt system. And let's find it. The rulers, the people that take the toughest stand that they're going to rule, are the most corrupt of the bunch. That goes for the church. Now, if you haven't got a word to the wise there, you ask me later on, I won't answer your question. All right? But in other cases, we are admonished that we also are to bear a light that reveals the token. As he said so clearly, if I have the Spirit of Christ, my life will show it. Certainly, he said, if I have the Spirit of Beethoven, I'll be in there composing and so on. To be of help along these lines of which we're speaking, I thought we might look at some of his pronouncements that he made in the Stature of a Perfect Man and apply them along with this message to show what manner of people we ought to be in this hour. I believe we have every right to do this, as the Stature of a Perfect Man is taken from 2 Peter, which is very definitely a revelation for this hour, For it speaks of the end time, the rapture, and the resurrection. In fact, every theologian admits that there are the four books in the Bible completely devoted. The epistles completely devoted. Well, let's mix up. There's actually five. There's two, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. There's 1st and 2nd Peter. There's the book of Revelation. And there's myriads of quotes in the Gospels and so on concerning this period. So 1st and 2nd Peter are devoted to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, which, of course, embraces the appearing before the coming. Now, the two books speak of the resurrection and rapture of the end time, which is our hour. It is, as Wiest's translation says, it is an epical and strategic period that gives us from God, that gives to us from God, God giving us something, and then places demands on us from God, the same God that gives, see, and we must understand what they are. Now, you'll notice in there that this epical strategic period signifies that God pulls a stratagem, a military coup, to get a bride out of here. As Brother Branham said, if the devil got a hold of this, it would do great damage, which you understand to mean, as it says in the book of Malachi, if I do not send Elijah the prophet, I will come and destroy utterly. I am coming. I will be there. I will be doing two things. One is to save, and one is to destroy. See? So therefore we see at this time in Peter an epical strategic period in the economy of Almighty God. So I'm going to read now from The Stature of a Perfect Man. And we'll put this here. I might not even get around to using it, but that's sort of a very... Becca wasn't here to do this for me, so you just blame her. If you can't read it, I'll just sort of decipher for it. All right. On page 12. So today we're going to try to take the same key to unlock a way to become a virtuous Christian in the stature of God and be a living tabernacle for the living God to dwell in. Now that's the thesis of this here. And he's going to trace it through the seven church ages to show how God does it in the church, the bride, and in the individual. So he said, we're going to try to do something in this message that's going to give you an understanding and put you in a position whereby you can and will be a literal living temple of the living God. For in other words, it is God in you, both willing and doing of his good pleasure. See, crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. See, all right, now, this indeed is a blessed thought. How humbling, but how uplifting. Now, I know it's scary because we look back on the legalistic concept and the lukewarm Laodicea. And we get very fearful that this cannot transpire. My brother and my sister, there's nothing in the Word of God that God does not stand for himself. As Brother Branham categorically said in Matthew 5:48, be ye perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. He said, if God demanded it, then God made a way for it. So therefore there is a way that we can be the literal statues, he called it, or the, come up to the stature of a perfect man in Christ, where we become living, actually God living his life out through us. Now remember that this will go primarily and greater than anybody to the messenger. So keep it in mind now. Page 13, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us. Now he starts up, but notice he switches his thought instantly. Changes our nature by sending upon us the Holy Spirit. What he's saying, we are cleansed by the blood that opens the door for the Holy Spirit himself to change our nature. You cannot get your nature changed unless, first of all, there is a propitiation that allows the Holy Spirit to come in. See? Then we become, now notice his language is beautiful, then we become into the divine nature of God. Didn't say you instantly are, says it's a process. Then we become a dwelling place for God as the final thing then, there. Preparing, in other words, we are preparing a house for residency. And the residency, the preparation will be putting ourselves out more and more. That's good, but that's not the key. It's what God puts in there. Because a house that is swept and garnished is open for seven devils worse than the first one. Which means we're pretty devilish in the first place and you want to get really horrible and have an eight in there, which signifies it's all over plus more. You just don't let this house get filled. See, this is where your denominations come in. This is where your legalist comes in. You'll find people that are very fine people, but you watch when it comes to that word, they're murderers. Trading off souls, living horrible lives. Page 14. Could you imagine an old buzzard trying to have a couple of dove feathers and say, look here, see, I'm a dove. In other words, pushing the feathers in to think you're something else. Trying to, you know. Why, we all know he is a buzzard, that's all. We can tell he's a buzzard. Well, now, that's the way it is trying to manufacture Christianity. You can't do it. The first thing you've got to do is be born again. Now, remember that. Now, he talks about a genuine baptism of the Holy Ghost, and he talks about born again, and the baptism with the rebirth is by the baptism with the Holy Ghost. See? Now, watch the language, or you get carried away, and you'll be thinking Brother Branham is saying something entirely different from what he is saying. Now, this is strange theology, so it means your mind must be renewed. You've got repenting to do, which means changing of your mind. All right. The first thing you've got to do is be born again. Now, what did he say up here? The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us, changes our nature by sending upon us the Holy Spirit. Okay? You've got to be born again. You've got to be changed. And when you change, you become a new creation. Now you're getting right. Now you're getting. So therefore, the rebirth, the Holy Spirit coming upon you, that change is a start. And you're starting up into something. Now, you don't have to worry about the feathers. Now you don't have to worry. His point, see. It will take care of itself when you're born again. See, now you got to understand that. It's the well of water springing up. Yes, sir. Now, these virtues, as Brother Branham said, are birthed into you. They come with the Holy Spirit. You're born again. You have these virtues, which are new virtues. Now, it's not that you don't have faith before. And it's not that you don't have this, that, the other thing. But you got the wrong one. It's like wisdom, which is from below, which is sensual, and so on. There's the wisdom from above. All right. Now, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. So, therefore, God's got to give you the building materials. That's why it said, other foundation can no man lay that which is laid, Christ Jesus. And Paul said, by his wise master builder, I've laid the foundation, but you be careful how you build thereupon. Now, let's see what Paul had to contend with back here in Philippians, so we begin to understand what we're up against. In the third chapter, I suppose it is, beginning at verse 4, though I might also have confidence in the flesh. He said, I've got some good things to back me up by my birth. If any other man thinketh he hath whereof to, he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, Hebrew the Hebrews, are touching the law of Pharisee. Now he wasn't a Levite, he was a Benjamite. Concerning zeal persecuting the church, touching their righteousness which is in the law, blameless. He fulfilled everything he needed to fulfill. And yet at the same time he was a murderer. Figure that out. Got the same thing right today. But those things that were gained to me I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them as dung, that I might win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is the law, but that which is through the faith of Jesus Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and even in the power of his resurrection, and the power of his resurrection, in the fellowship of suffering, being made conformed to his death, if by any means I might attain to the out-resurrection from among the dead. Now this is for this hour. So there's got to be a repeat of this age. This age has got to cleanse its mind of every single thing it ever learned and put it all to one side. Or you haven't got a genuine rebirth. You've got, well, you little spirit of God in you, that's fine. Nobody's going to fuss it. I'd sooner you went to a bowling alley and then go down and sniff cocaine. I'd sooner you sniff cocaine than murder. But you're still out there in the never-never land, so who wants it? See? All right. These are birthed in you. What you have already in you will not satisfy nor qualify. Page 18. That old suspicious, doubting character he was is dead. Now he's a new creation. So you see, he doesn't have to add anything because it will be automatically added. In other words, the procedure is simply one of recognition what you have. And the greatest gift in the world is learn to get out of the way. You know why it's a hard thing to receive? Because it's been called death, death to self. Page 23, you're beginning to reflect the works of Christ. And so many of us try to do the works of Christ before the reflection that Christ is in us. That's before the Holy Spirit's in us. Everything is fine what you do, and thank God you do it on the white throne. It may come up for you in the sense justice and judgment is meted out And those that have the greatest light and the greatest this and that and done the greatest damage, they have the longest time of punishment for annihilation. So therefore, this is a negative context. That is, certainly some little thing could come out of it, but not what we're looking for, see. Page 45. Now remember, the black bird with peacock feathers. Don't forget him, see. Don't try to add to it till you're actually born again, because it won't work. You can't make it work. It'll come to this or to this here. It'll crumble somewhere. You're talking about the weakest link later on. But when you get down here to the genuine born-again dove, then you don't add anything. It adds to you, comes on up. Like you see coming up through the church ages. Comes up to the individual. You see faith, virtue, and knowledge, temperance, so on. See, right down the line. Step by step to the full complement of virtues, then God himself taking over the temple. Then God running everything. You out of the way. All right, reading, page 47. Now, in building this monument, see, look at, here's the monument. Building this statue, that's a statue under Christ. See, it starts off, and the foundation is on faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness. Now, what does it do? In other words, what happens then? Then they're waiting for the headstone, which is love. For God is love. Now, see, here it is right here in seven church ages, which also is the form that is used in the individuals. Now, God started in this age here, up, 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 up. And then it gets up here, there's only one thing that's left, because there's eight. There's seven ages. So the last one is love, which is God himself. And you notice it's a little pyramid itself, a little capstone up there. That's going to come down. See? Then they're waiting for the headstone, which is love, for God is love. And he controls, and he is the strength of every one of these. Now listen, if that's in the spirit that's going on here, then this is in the spirit. Everybody wants to put that in the physical. And they run around preachers saying, well, leave Elbleas in the spiritual second coming. The man's patently a liar. I'm going to fight with the fellow, but he's lying. I preached a sermon right in his church. There's no such thing I ever said like that. And I don't intend to say that, because the physical, the second coming in the flesh is in threefold manner. He's already come once and died upon Calvary. We're going to meet him in the air immortal. Well, you just listen to what he said. They're waiting for the headstone. Well, if they're waiting for the headstone, then there's got to be a promise of the headstone coming. Why would they wait for something they can't have? Why send a prophet to tell you, hey, you could have had this, this belongs over here. See, get out of the way, prophet. You're stupider than anybody ever, isn't it? Look, kid, I'll tell you something. When you're starving, you don't pat someone needs clothes and needs food. You don't pat them on the head and say, God bless you. Dig down, put some clothes in his back, and put some food in his stomach and warm him up. If he's too hot, fan his brow, wash his feet. We're not in some insipid thing here, brother, sister. This is real. This is real in this building. Realer than you are yourselves than I am. They're waiting for the headstone, which is love, for God is love, and he controls. And he is the strength of every one of these. In other words, if everything down in here that's a virtue that is manifested comes from him in the first place. See? He's coming to cut his own. Yes, sir, right in here, right in here. Now, you see, right in here, he says. Notice he's pointing there. See, I got in between all these works, which are virtues, in here, and here are these little waves coming down. See? He had, actually, a mind made pretty small, but the little waves, see, the little waves coming down. And you'll notice in other places they got straight lines. All right, what is that there? Okay? And here are these little waves come down. What is it? See? The Holy Ghost coming down through Christ's Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is above all this, welding this together. Building what? A perfect church for the capstone to cap off. What's it been doing again? It's manifested through seven ages and seven church messengers. Now, the model God had in mind and how to get it. And the example is to each member. And that example is that here's the head. Now, what is in there, he sends down through the waves, into the church, coming down, see? Down here. Fills up all this with this. Then he comes down, the second age, filling in this. and right on down through. Now notice that it's scriptural that what God poured into Christ, and he's here in the form of the Holy Ghost now, remember? Now, what he poured in him, he pours in the church. Now, in him was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now, remember, God does not pour into the church the power of sovereignty. Sovereignty does not lie on the church. So, therefore, everything that God is pouring in the church, he's pouring in now by way of these seven here. And when that is finished, when there's no more to come down, because he's not going to send any more down, there's nothing left. It's all out of there now. What is left? The capstone himself. That means the work of the Holy Spirit is finished in the church as to these elements. Then what's left? He himself. And Brother Brazis, capstone is here. And of course, in him is all this plus everything else. Now, where was the church first founded? Where was the Pentecost first founded? Church founded by Paul and Ephesus. Now, of course, he's talking to the Gentiles. The star of the Ephesian church, Ephesus. Who was he? He was Paul. Now, Paul is the apostle prophet of faith, or the great giver of revelation. See, he was the great giver and the disseminator. The star of the Ephesian age, Ephesus. The second was Smyrna, virtue. Irenaeus, the great man who held up the gospel of Paul. Next stage, Pergamos. Martin was the great man who stayed there. Paul, Irenaeus, Martin. Then in Thyatira came Columba. Remember, here it's drawn right out there. He points the finger. Columba. After Columba, the dark ages set in. Then comes Sardis, which means death. Luther, hallelujah. What then? What comes after Sardis and Luther? Then comes Philadelphia, godliness, Wesley, holiness, just lived by faith, said Luther. Sanctification through Wesley. Then come in brotherly kindness. And we believe the great message of the second appearing of Elijah in the last days will sweep the land. Now he tells you up in here, with these virtues, there came something else. The virtues merely, we might say, show predominantly what lies in the character. But the message shows what lies in the word and the purpose and plan of Almighty God. Now, each one had a part of it. It began to die here already. It died more. It died more. When it got up here, it really hit the skids. It really just about all completely died. But remember that there was life in there. Now, what the canker worm, the palmer worm, the locust and caterpillar had eaten down to a nub, there was life in that little root down there. So it begins coming up through here. Then more and more and more. Until you're coming back. You're coming back to the perfect grain. So you've got to have a perfect word, a perfect ministry. You've got to have a perfect bride. No matter how it's going to be done, it's going to be done. Then you see, when you've got that perfect ministry, as we'll show later on, reading from the book, then Brother Brown has said, that can come down. When everything is lined up the way God wants it. Now, here you are, seven church ages, seven steps. God building his church is like one person into an individual, into himself. Well, that's the body of Christ, but many members. The glory, the power of God coming down through this, welding us together. Therefore, the Pentecostal people has led out the West. Lutherans have led out the Westerns and things. They don't know what they're talking about. Well, they're saying these people don't have a thing. And they look back and they say, well, just a minute. How could they have the Holy Ghost when the initial evidence is speaking in tongues? Well, they just brought them right out of the book. Who gave them authority to blot anybody out of the book? See, pot can't call kettle black. They're blotted out themselves. You actually, Brother Banner says at the end time, the chaff turns to terror. You Matthew 7, you know how it comes from it goes from an animal to a tree, and then goes to this, you know, how he begins going back and forth on his metaphor? Allegories, call it what you want. It's a complete jumble unless you know how the scripture lines up. At the end time, it says he burns up the chaff. But at the end time, it also says he gathers the tares. So what's left? Two distinct groups of people, period. Not even a relationship of a chaff to a tare. I mean, a chaff to a wheat. So you see where judgment comes in. We're getting right down to the line, brother, sister. That's all there is to it. Pentecost put them all out. You see, they lived. You see, they lived in this part of the temple.
Now, you see, living down here is different than living there. Living here is different from here, and here is different from this. See? At a different part. Now, it's all temple. It's all that life. It was all lamb life to begin with. Then life, animal, got interjected. That's why you got the book of life. It's all one book. And coming up through that book is that thread of lamb life. Is that thread going on. And God's always built his church, build. All welded together, all making one body. So he can take headship. Okay. You see, they lived in a different part of the temple. That's the way some people can come up that high and then drop off. Now notice they came right up to here under Luther, then they dropped off. Wesley came up, look at how high Wesley got, and dropped off. Now look at Pentecost, how high they are. Why, we're at the edge here, like about that flange. Look where they dropped off. They were the ones that should have taken his hook, line, and sinker. And they're the ones that destroyed it. Now, but there's a genuine part of that keeps making that building. Now, what they had here, though dying, went on here, died some more, went on here, died some more, went on here, and almost completely died. But it was genuine what they had. And this was genuine Luther had. And he, oh, did he boo-boo. Most people can't stand Luther as the one that God had for that age. He precipitated a war and had people killed everything else. And said the Jews ought to be exterminated. And Hitler did the job for him. See, that seed was back there. See, what kind of a guy was Luther? Oh, something like Paul. Much of a tough guy. But you see now, going up here, it carried on up here, the same spirit into holiness, sanctification, up here into restoration of gifts, and an understanding of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, though they pegged it wrong when they got an evidence in there. Which is wrong, see? A genuine part keeps coming up. And that genuine part is that light. See? And you go back and read these old-timers in here. Why, they had that stature individually. But the church didn't, and the church couldn't until this hour. And the whole thing makes for a rapture. See? Now, you remember the bride tree. You remember the sermon on the bride tree. They ate it down. That's the caterpillar, canker, and so on. But he pruned it. God pruned it. He got denomination branches, pruned them off. He raised up another church, denomination branch, he pruned it up. But the heart of that tree kept growing. In the evening time it shall be light. The heart of the tree that kept growing is going to have an evening time light. And you know what happens to things that have life when light hits it. That's when comes Christ, the Holy Spirit. Jesus comes down, sets himself head of the church, then he'll resurrect the church being his own body. Now he's got to come down here to resurrect us. It doesn't say he resurrects in midair. Comes down. In there's the body. The way God is expecting us as individuals to grow, the way he brought his church to grow, every age it becomes one big church. Now, it took 7 ages to get where you have the headstone. He's in charge. No more vicars. He himself. Now, there are little vicars running around, representatives, which is all right. Testifiers, witnesses. But the great one himself is here. See? Now, that, he said, the individual can have the same experience. Because you and I admit that through the ages, as this transpired, and this up here, according to 2 Peter, I didn't even read it for you, but I'm going to go back and read it now. There's no reading, no need for it. Brings it up here. So, in our individual life, in this hour, we are the only ones who can come to this place of a life completely dominated by the Holy Spirit, with God in the midst of the people. Now you can only get this far here. Every age can only get that far. But we're at the very top here, brotherly kindness, sought in the prophet, sought since trust God seed in ourselves, and then love, which is God himself, can come and take the whole church over, and an individual can be taken over by Almighty God too. Now that's what I understand Brother Ben be saying. See, these fellows were not required what these fellows were. Now see, he was not required what this was required. This was not required what this is required. Now watch. This is not required what this is required. This is not required what this is required. And this is not required what this little bit in here, which is the bride age, though we are in the scope of Laodicea, we are not Laodicea. Amen. It's an age within an age.
Supposed to be.
See, but he brought his church up the same way. He brought his church up the way he bring his people up. Going right back and forth. Then Peter here says, seven things. Faith, virtue, see, coming up. Knowledge, temperance, patience, God, brother, love, brotherly kindness, and then the love of God, the Holy Ghost. Christ is in the person of the Holy Ghost, comes upon you in the true baptism of the Holy Ghost, and you've got all these virtues seated in you. Now, don't get thrown for a loop there. He said, how do you get them in the first place? You got to get them by a rebirth. They got to be given to you. They got to be birthed in you. And you keep adding from the seed going on up. See? Now, that does not get you the Holy Ghost, per se. You've got to have the Holy Spirit and what's in Him to have this moving in you to get to the place where He from takes over. Then you got a real genuine baptism. See, in other words, you in Christ and Christ in you. And as Brother Branham says in the spoken words original seed, how that bride is one with that word. We'll get a quote later on. Now, Christ in the person, the Holy Ghost comes upon you in true baptism of the Holy Ghost, and you got all these virtues sealed in you. Then God lives in the tabernacle called the building, the living tabernacle of the living God's dwelling place. See? Now, growing up into the Holy Ghost is what Brother Branham really majored in teaching us. Not just the baptism, but growing up into. You don't grow up into a baptism of birth. You're either born or you're not born. But you grow up into. And this is a lot like I explained before, the old Celtic conference, the old Puritan ideas, which are still amongst us. Pardon me, and we're amongst us, oh, to about 50 years ago, and maybe even less than 50, where the idea was the A.J. Gordon, S.D. Gordon, where you took a bottle, there's rocks in it, you pour it in water. See, that's great, it's full of water. No, it's not full, it's full of rocks and water. Start taking the rocks out, keep pouring the water. Pretty soon all the rocks are gone, all the water's there. Then turn around and do something else. Let's just find a person here that's completely full of the things of the world. And he is full of the world. We are full of that nature. We can't help ourselves. We're born. Now comes the Holy Ghost, and the nature changes. And watch this faith begin to knock out some of those things, pushing these other things out of the bottle, strangling the life of them out of there. See? Then you see the virtue added, and that begins strangling something else. The virtue that's in there that you try to operate, the power and authority. Then you come to knowledge. Watch the knowledge of God begin to push human knowledge out. And right on down the line, until you begin to see the takeover. And there's nothing left but God Himself to take over the vessel. And that's been going on for seven church ages. But this church age we're talking about is Himself come down now. So you watch what we're saying here. As far as I know, I'm telling you what Brother Branham said. All right. He said Christ in the person of the Holy Ghost upon you is a true baptism. Now let me read it here again, page 14. Could you imagine an old buzzard trying to have a couple of dove feathers and say, look here, see, I'm a dove. Why, we all know he's a buzzard. That's all. We can tell he's a buzzard. Well, now, that's the way people are trying to manufacture Christianity. You can't do it. The first thing you've got to do is be born again. See? It says up here, God changes your nature by sending the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit upon us. So born again and Holy Spirit baptism, one and the same thing. That's what he said. Took me 4.5 hours to get that one. Can't go back on what he taught. So you see, you're not starting here and saying, well, hey, unless I have all these virtues, I'm not born again. You got all the virtues. What are you doing with them? What am I doing? That's the thing. See, I'll be adding, getting out of the way. When a man possesses these kinds of things, then the Holy Ghost comes upon him. No matter, you might speak with tongues, you might impersonate any gift that God's got. You might do that, but until these virtues here go into you, you're still off the real foundation of faith. When these virtues grow in, and you add that to that, then your living monument, your living moving idol. You don't become the living moving monument until you add them together. It's not that you're not in process. You are in process. You know the heathen, they prostrate themselves before an idol, imaginary God, an imaginary way. They believe an imaginary God speaks back to them. That's heathenism. They believe that the Spirit comes into them. See from that. That's Romanism. They bow before all kinds of saints, everything else. They have saints to see, the house of God, many different things like that. They bow to that and actually believe in the imaginary way. What a type it is of the true living God. Now watch. But we, not in an imaginary way, but prostrate ourselves before a living God, a living virtue, a living knowledge, a living patience, a living godness, a living power, coming by the living God, making a living man, a living image, the stature of God. That's a process. But did walking the same way he walked, doing the same thing he did, because not an imaginary thing, that's the reality that proves it. Now, Brother Branham has to be talking about himself in this respect here. Because nobody could do, walk like Jesus and have the ministry that Brother Branham had. That is separate. So what's he saying? He said it come up through the church by messengers. So the end time messenger, Elijah, has the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I don't. See what I mean? See all these virtues? These building materials typed in with the church messenger. With the church ages. So therefore, when you see this, you know that you're at the place of brotherly kindness. You know that's the great one that you will major in. This will be the sign. As Brother Brand said, brotherly kindness is not love. And he said, you're pretty sticky with each other. And he said, you're fussing and you're fuming. But he said, you let one person get in trouble, you watch how the rest will all rush and try to help him. That was a beautiful statement. I haven't seen too much of it. But the prophet said it. It's there in the real ones. It's there in the real ones. The real ones will not kick a man when he's down. But they won't stand for hogwash either. That's what we blasted all the time in this pulpit. There's a phony, phony love. There's a perverted love. There's a hypocritical love. There's a hypocritical spirit. There are two vines as sure as you and I are alive. And at the end time, they're just so close to see the very elected. But never did say there wasn't a walk. And this morning we're talking about it. Now, that is the house that God dwells in, not a building with a big bell on top and a high steeple, a body thou hast prepared me. A body that God can dwell in, God can walk in, God can see in, God can talk in, God can work in. Amen. Living instrument of God. God walking on 2 feet in you. Glory. The footsteps of righteous man ordered to God. Now, that's individual. That's not William Branham alone now. God walking in you. For ye are written epistles, read of all men. And if the life that's in Christ be in you, you'll bear the life that Christ bore. That's not ministry now. That's that one with the Word, one with God. And remember, love is corrective. To be a Christian, don't let people just necessarily walk all over you. That means some people say, well, I believe this message, but I just don't fight for it. Well, how much do you believe? Paul was set for the defense of the gospel. The people out here that fuss about us, what we believe, they want to come in and militate against us and have us knuckle down. Well, I'm not a Christian. Lee Bale is a dirty, rotten bird because he dares to stand up and be counted. Well, then Paul is a dirty, rotten bird. A whole lot worse than me. And you better take a cub and Bill bring Branham up here and bring Brother Branham and hit him around and knock his bones. So there's just too much. There's too much quality wrong and nonsense going around. Call it God. Don't call it God, brother. Said neither live like a buzzsaw and call that God either. No, sir. Like I've always said, take the sap out of a peach tree. If you could transfer it by a transfusion apple tree, the apple tree bear peaches. Sure, certainly. No matter what the branches look like. Now, don't take this too far, because you're into fruit principle. But you better take it far enough. See? Because there's a word goes with it. There's a message goes with this. There's a vindicated man in our hour, and there's God himself. And the thing better line up. See? Give it a sap transfusion. Drain out the peach tree into the apple tree. What happens? It won't bear any peaches anymore. No, sir. If the peach tree life comes in the apple tree, rather it won't bear apples. It'll bear peaches because it's got a life in it. When you take us, we who are nothing but wild gird and not hid, and there's nothing to us, we're all dead in sins and trespasses, like Paul said. We're all in these kinds of conditions. Then we ourselves can prostrate ourselves, give ourselves up until God takes his transfusion tube, the name of Jesus Christ, because nor the name whereby we can be saved, transfer the life of Christ into us, then we have this kind of faith, the faith that Jesus had. That's right, we certainly do. Or the name to get saved by. The Spirit of God comes in, and then you're on your start. All those virtues born right in there. Christ's faith was not based in those Pharisees or Sadducees, or their pots or kettles and pans and washing. It was based on the Word of God. Amen. See, it'll grow right up with the Word of God. How can a man say he's got knowledge and turn down the Word at this end time? He hasn't got it. How can he say he's got faith, revelation, and turn it down? So you see, everything we stand for here, whether we live it or not, look, this church is in the pulpit. And what we gather for is for one thing, to stand, take our stand with the Word of God that it is true, whether we're phony or not. Amen. We can't prove anything for ourselves. So much until Christ was the Word, who was based on the Word of God, until Christ was the Word. And the Word is made flesh. He's talking about us too. You receive the Word of God in your flesh, the Word of God, you become the Word of God in your flesh. And then we get so transfused by His power that we died our own thinking, and our faith becomes a genuine faith. That's true repentance. Hallelujah. Then the life of Christ is transfused into us, and we become living creatures of God, a dwelling place where the Holy Spirit can send His radiant blessings down through there, and we're in the stature of Christ. It's all in there. Watch it come up. Jesus said, "Is it not written, you condemn me, saying I'm the Son of God?" Now, this is concerning Brother Branham. This is not Lee Bale and you people sitting here. Isn't it written, ye are God's? Where does it say that about you and me? Doesn't your own law say that, like Moses, like Elijah, like those prophets who lived so close to God, that God just transferred Himself right into them, and they spoke not themselves but God? Take no thought what you should say, because it's not you that speaks, it's the Father dwells in you, does the speaking. His word is not His own, because His life He's dead. Now that's William Branham. The best we can come to is the original word spoken seed. The bride doesn't say a thing until she knows she has thus saith the Lord, which means she has a leading the Lord to operate in the word of Almighty God, the way the word of God says it, and your motivation is a God. Then you go ahead. That's your thus saith the Lord, that's mine. Now we can get there, but we can't get this here. No way, shape, and form. If you die, you take the blood out of a man, you embalm him. Trouble is, a lot of them never get embalmed. You take the blood of a man, he's gone. The only thing you do is put another blood back in him, if he's going to live again, for you took his blood out. Now we put the blood of Jesus in, and that brings in the faith of Jesus, the virtue of Jesus, the knowledge of Jesus, the temperance of Jesus Christ, the patience of Jesus Christ, the goodness of Jesus Christ, the brotherly kind of Jesus Christ, and the love of Jesus Christ, and which is Jesus Christ. He's the head that controls you, and your feet are the foundation, faith, amen, controlled by the head. There you are. Now, can you take the literal blood of Jesus Christ and put it in? Try and do it. I thought he said the life came back on you. But he said, "Well, I got the blood that does all of this." He didn't say that. You can take these words here and you can absolutely, my books fly apart, just to forget it. He didn't know what he said. We didn't know what he said. Nobody knows what he said. See? There's no way in my books God sent a man to muddy the waters. They're already muddied. To lock a door with a double lock is already locked. To throw seven more seals on, already sealed in. They can't do that. See, God always makes the issues clear and plain. My feet move. Why? Because my head says so. Now we can't move. Now listen. Now he's going back to the ages. Watch this. Now it can't move like my hand because of my feet. Luther can't do the things we did. No, he says, he just tell us flat. Luther couldn't do what he did. And the Lutherans don't have what we have. And Pentecostals don't have. And they look back and say, "Well, hey, you guys really ain't got nothing alongside of us." That's exactly true. When you want manifestation, go ahead. But you haven't got what's going to put you in a rapture. Because the Lord descends with a shout. Prove the whole bunch of them. And the manifestation was only to prove the shout. Because the shout is the covenant. And the blood confirms the covenant. And the Holy Ghost executes the covenant. Right? They're wrong, brother, sister. Neither can the methods, because there's something else. See, the feet move because the head says so. At Luther's, Paul's day, the feet move. Bring it up to Luther's day. Put a feet. Because Reformation started there, see? The head says so. Head never says, "Now feet, you become hands. Ear, you become eyes." But each age, God has placed these things into His church and patterned it by showing that each individual possesses these qualities. And this being when it's completed. Now, when was the church completed? With the one virtue? No. Are you completed because you got the baptism, you got one virtue? You got them all, but it's got to be moving up. Brother Branham sure threw a curve to people that tried to understand patience. The first patience he brought up was patience with God Himself. And then patience with your brother. Everybody wants patience under condition. Me in my own little house, so I can be nice, sweet, and calm. Nice, sweet, and calm. And wonderful, wonderful. And people say, isn't she lovely? Isn't she simply delightful? That's what they want it for. How patient with God? Patient with God, my foot. Where is the church today? They manufacture their own thing. And this being when it's completed is the church of God that's going in the rapture. Not going down, going to rapture. And this being, when completed, is a servant of God in the church of God that's going in the rapture. In other words, we've got something very special through the prophet and the word and in ourselves as recipients that's going to do something for this church. Sure it is. So they'll come out of the ground and we can get out of here. Is the servant of God in the church of God that's going after glory. See what I mean? There you are. There's the full thing. Here come a man, Paul, laying a foundation. The rains began to pour this on it. Next one poured that. Next one poured this. Next one that, and that, and on down till it comes to the last stage. And what is it? The same Spirit. The same Spirit that dwelt in me says, hands, reach after that, take. The same Spirit says, feet, make a step. And people say, Luther didn't have the Holy Ghost. Wesley not have the Holy Ghost. Pentecost not happened. What are you talking about? See, we recognize, and we know where the Holy Spirit left off, where they went back, we're going on. Recognizing your day, its message, the messenger, the token, all of it. Recognizing. Then the whole stature of your being is governed and controlled by these things, but it cannot completely be controlled till it completely possesses these qualities. In other words, there was no way that he could perform a resurrection, take complete control of a church and bring about immortality unless this was all fulfilled. And here's Elijah up here with his message. Now you tell that to the church, they're going to laugh at you. Let them laugh. I got no time. I got troubles of my own without worrying about theirs. Now let me tell you this. Put on your listening ear. A chain is the strongest at its weakest link. That's right. It's no stronger than its weakest link. No matter how strong they are built up, this is the built up. If it's got a weak link, there's where she breaks. No strong, weakest link. Now, if you're possessed, you say, I got this, that, and then she breaks. You got this, that, she breaks. You got this, that, it'll break. This, that, it'll break. This, that, it'll break. See, you can't have this without having this. In other words, right down the line. So when you're surrendering your complete being, then the Holy Ghost pours through in these virtues, then you're a living tabernacle. Now, that's not just the prophet. Now notice, you see, the weak link. That weakened. It broke. That weakened. It broke. They wouldn't let God pour through them where he's supposed to pour through them. That broke. But there's a light that comes up all the time, and if it gets here, you and I are there, it won't break. See, you're going to be all right. There's no problem. Now the individual is like this, the same as the church. Then people look out and say, that's a man full of virtue, knowledge, brings the word, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, full of love of God, of the Holy Ghost walking around. What is it? A stature that unbelievers can look at and say, there is a Christian, there is a man who knows what they're talking about. You never saw a kinder, sweeter, godly person. Now that's wonderful, except Brother Brandon forgot one thing. The majority are not going to say, knows what they're talking about. She's got something here, but and believes the word. You think a Pentecost is going to see all these virtues and say, oh, I know you have the Holy Ghost. Say, hey, what's this here about baptizing in Jesus' name stuff? How do you guys believe in one God? Why, there's one God serving three persons. How'd you like to fill your income tax in that way? For one family, just delete one. Oh, they wouldn't do that. No, they're too smart for that. Pretty stupid someplace else, maybe. While I hear that you guys don't believe in speaking in tongues, I can show you right here, the Bible's full of speaking in tongues. You've got to speak in tongues. So I'm going to take exception to that remark. Except there are people who will not go that far, and they will say, I see that you handle the Word of God. I see nothing wrong with it. Now, we have witnesses here that where brethren have given books, and they say, I don't see anything wrong with it. I couldn't put my finger on it. They read the church age and say, I can't put my finger on it. I'm just not ready to accept it all, but I can't put my finger on it. Now, that person there, I can qualify for this statement. I just want to let you know that Brother Branham was not making a general statement clean across the board that people are going to say, hey, you're wonderful, wonderful. Well, I would take you out and shoot you. He knew that. Don't worry. But this is the idea you're to have that will evoke this. See? Your seal. The seal shows on both sides whether you're going or coming. They see the seal just the same. There you are. See, when a man or woman possesses this, then the capstone comes down and seals them into the kingdom of God, which is the Holy Ghost. The messenger, Leo C. Nate, proved this out. See? And this is real, true, eternal security. Then the word coming from here manifests itself through each one of these beings and makes this complete being a tabernacle, a living God, a living example of Christianity. Then he talks about they without us can be made perfect. You get this, these people who died in here are depending, waiting on us. So this church has got to come to perfection in order to bring the resurrection and and they're under, souls under the altar, waiting for this church to come to confession. I'm going to tell you something. If every single one of us was as perfect as the Lord Jesus Christ himself, that would not bring about a resurrection. No way. We'll never be as perfect as he. He himself must bring about a resurrection. He's got to come down. He's going to do it. And you know, every time there was a resurrection, a genuine resurrection, I'm talking about, which is in the scripture, and we've had the first part of the first resurrection. He was right here. And in the form of the Holy Spirit. Because he came up with him. See? But when Christ does come, and this church, you see, is coming smaller in the minority, a whole lot sharper than that. But just like I write that cross there. Now, you must add a cross on the board, but the idea is this here, that you see, you were coming, the pyramid was pretty sharp, see? Just a little bit here. But it's sharper still. It's so sharp that it's just going to have room like for one person. You know, like remember, was it Steamship Kelly, was his name? The guy that was the first flagpole sitter? Named Kelly, yeah. Got up 150 feet in the pole and sat there. That's what we're talking about. There's room for one person. He's not going to share his glory.
Amen.
Nothing in that bride came from anything outside of God, brother, sister.
Amen.
He's through with all that nonsense. That's out. So the point is much smaller. So I can understand that. It's much smaller. It's a minority. The needle point. Until the church in the minority has got to get into a place until it's the same kind of ministry that this left. Now watch. Because when this headstone comes back, it's got a pocket like here where it's going to sit right in there on a regular pyramid. It just isn't a cap that sits across the top. It's a little flange. That little flange sheds the water. Nothing can come in. See? Sealed off. You get this far. See? Now, rest of the stones of the pyramid are lying so perfect till you can't run a razor blade between them. Perfect, perfect grind. Weighing tons lying there. How they got them up, they don't know. But they were built. But up here, when the pyramid cap does come, the pyramid itself, the body of Christ, will have to be honed, polished. Not only just some creed doctrine or something we've come through, it will have to be so perfectly like Christ till when he comes, he and that ministry will fit right smack together, then will come the rapture. Now he's talking about a coming, then comes the rapture. All right, now look. The Lord descends with a shout. Let's just say that there's a certain descent, but not down to earth. Just whatever you want to put it. It's figurative language, perhaps, because up is down, who knows what. It's all a dimension. We won't fly out here in the rapture, we'll go to dimension. Okay, now, we're looking at this picture here. And we're talking in terms of the pyramid being built up. Now, he said up here is this flange to keep the water and leaves and things out, that this has got to come down upon. Now, he said, it's got to have a ministry that he left in order for that to come down. Now, is he saying categorically that ministry has got to be there before he comes down, or is he telling us flat that what ministry is there proves that that's the ministry that was left? I don't care how you take it. Let's put it this way. It's absolutely true that William Branham was vindicated as the Elijah of this hour through the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ himself at this time to vindicate that prophet, to let us know positively that the token himself was here and the message, which was the shout, was the authentic word of Almighty God.
Amen.
So therefore, before Christ could become head of the church, which is by the word, there had to be a ministry authenticating that this was the head, because the words of man won't do this. And remember, when you talk about a prophet is God manifest in human flesh. Which means the words of a man won't do it. And when I talked about here, I did go back, but I didn't mention up here, back here the fact where Brother Branham is speaking here, it doesn't matter anyway, about called sons of God, gods, saying, I'm the Son of God, that you're gods, that does not refer to you and me, that referred to the prophet. So therefore, when you study these messages, you've got to understand where Brother Branham, in humility, and by direct command of God to veil himself, could not come up forthrightly in every single position and tell you exactly he's speaking about himself, but you know better. You know now when it refers to you, when it doesn't refer to you. And so in here now, Brother Branham is warning the people, look, you must not let that spirit of Laodicea get upon you where you can take a chance. And you can't just say, well, I'm identified because I go to that church. The identification lies in the fact that the token's own life is in you and me. And those virtues are coming up and coming up to where we are now in the position of brotherly kindness. And it's not just virtues and fruitage. It's in there based upon the word which I've been preaching for ever since we opened these doors. I said, look, if we don't have that word, we've got nothing. Now, this is where it starts, which is revelation. And the same one that gave the word is here revealing the word and explaining it from the ground up. Not going over it all, but as he says over here in the book of Hebrews, and I'm going to quit right away and just get to our little meeting here. And Wednesday, perhaps, if I'm able to, we'll continue on page 24. Now, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. There's no need for it. We've always had it. It came up as the light of the doctrine of baptism, laying on of hands, the resurrection dead. We've had those, but there's errors in them. Just needs a correction. And this will do, if God permit, what? Go on to perfection concerning these things written here. In every age didn't start it all over again. You're to the place where it's run out. See? All right. Now, and it's impossible for those who were once for all enlightened. That's his last time messenger. And have tasted the heavenly gift, partaking of the Holy Ghost, taste the good word of God, and the powers of the world to come. A millennial man was in our midst, as I've said. Christ was in our midst.
Amen.
And we saw it. If they, having fallen away, they'll never renew them to repentance. So what if you did know all of this? Are you going to do you any good? You can come all the way up through all of this right through here and miss it. Just like they, look at these came up here, dropped back. These came up here, dropped back. Notice they're getting higher. Came up here, dropped back. Came up, dropped back. Came up, dropped back. Came up, dropped back. Came up, dropped back. We don't drop back. Now, where did we come from? Right from the original. Then what is up here in completion? Original. And the Holy Spirit has proved it. Absolutely showing the grain of wheat that fell on the ground came right back here, perfect in the form of the Holy Ghost. But you will not convince people until Jesus himself appears in human form, and it's too late. He's already appeared in a human form.
Right,
amen. To your prophet. God and the prophets. They had to have the same. That's why Brother Branham was a real first fruit in the man that he was. Now, I don't claim for 1 minute that you and I are going to be men like that, but but who knows? I'm just laying this message out this morning to let you know that I cannot agree that we are a people or should be a people who either have a lukewarm spirit upon us, who settle for just about anything, who let just about anything go, who go backwards instead of forward. Now, I'm not giving the church an indictment. I'm not giving any type of analysis or anything that you might call a diagnostic and any prognosis. I'm simply preaching the word of Almighty God, and I'm thinking in terms of myself. And I know that we are not supposed to be tremendously full of joy and tremendously hilarious. The revival is over. But I know also there is an assurance and there is a joy in the Lord, and there are these things in Jesus Christ that we are evidently not holding high enough. Now, we hold them, but we're not holding them somehow close enough and high enough. And it seems the remedy, more often than not, is to let little things slip in than to kick things out. Now, I'm not trying to get us into a starchy, stiff-necked church that's run by a dictator, or you become dictatorial in your homes, No way, shape, and form. I'm talking about he who has love is here, and brotherly kindness, and these virtues now. We should be in a much higher level of ripening out and taking the green out than we are. And I think it's time that we put some effort upon it in our homes, in our lives, in our dedication. As Brother Branham said, if it skins you alive, do something. There's lots of things that I look at, and I just won't pay the price. I'll pay the price, don't worry. Harder than I want to pay a price. We're all doing it. And we'll continue to do it. The thing is to read the record and to line up with the message of Brother Branham gave, which I call pastoral, which I neglect desperately here. And I shouldn't, I know that. But I do in the form of teaching to try to get across to you and help you where in my ministry lies. But I'm not devoid of that understanding. There is a life that goes with this. And when Brother Branham was here, they spurned that life. They certainly did, and you can see it right now, seen plumb across the country. Now, I don't want to excoriate preacher friends and men that I've known over the years, but how come that the preachers believe in polygamy, multiple marriages, and those things, when that's absolutely against the word of Almighty God?
Amen.
Boot a woman out and get another one. Now, I'm going to say, what I'm trying to get is this. If that's in the pulpit, I wonder what's in the pew. And I can sweep my eyes around all of you and just wonder. And that doesn't mean I'm wondering as though I've got something that you don't have. Because you see, as a minister, I'm looking at ministers. As a pulp people, lady, you've got to look at a lady. I wonder just where you're at. And where, and not that you and I are going to poke in peacock feathers being hoot owls and things like that. Not that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the fact that we, if anybody, have a right to what lies in this word, not only as to what God gives us, but what we are doing with, and what we're allowing God to do with, what God has given us. We might get out of the way and just settle right down to where it's not a nitty-gritty, cold thing, but a judicial, loving attitude through the Holy Spirit who has illuminated that word, and we're going on with God. Now, I realize people cannot be made to do these things. I can't make you, can't make myself. Unless God helps us, God moves on us. And we're in a very rough time today of unbelief, a very hard time. Lukewarmness. That lukewarm condition is hell on earth. See that? You see, that's what started lukewarm with Eve. Oh, he said, why, God won't do this. Why, he said, I'll put you in between the hot and the cold. He said, you won't die. And he said, God hasn't got enough in the ball or enough guts to kill you. Well, he's got, the lukewarm started right back there in Eve. The lukewarm is right here. You notice animals? In any cold winter weather, what do? Most of them, did. When they get cold, they'll put their heads together and put their rear ends to the breeze. Oh, they got ways of snuggling up and being warm. The church has got ways of snuggling up, and he snuggles up to the wrong one. See? Get rid of the old enemy, get rid of the flesh. This is the hour of softness and temptation. And I'd be remiss if I didn't try to balance this out and show you. Look. Because we're highly criticized all as though there's no life lived down here. Well, I'm not going to compare people, but I said before, I've admired certain ministers and their congregations, one of which was certainly Jack Bell. He's my real bosom pal of mine, real bosom friend. I certainly love his people down there, and they love me. I wouldn't, if I was going to trade any of you people for those down there, I wouldn't know where to start. I feel the people here are godly people, good people, everyone trying, but I'm concerned that we should move onward and upward, just keep moving forward with God and godly, holy lives, keeping our families together, not making a family unit as though, hey, we exist and nobody else does. See, a family can get that way because a church can get that way. The same Spirit gets on every family. No, we're all one. And there's people out there, lots of them.
Amen.
In fact, God may bypass us and take them. But at least we had a privilege of knowing. Attitude of love and kindness. So the Lord bless you. Now let me bow our heads in prayer. Gracious, kind, Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the opportunity of being here together, worshiping together over your word. Praying, Lord God, that these words would be taken by you, Heavenly Father. And they will be, I believe, if we are right in what we're saying.
And you mold them into our hearts and make them part of our lives, that we'll be more godly, more loving, more kind, more circumspect, more everything, until we become the living statures. The living statues, Brother Branham called it, Lord. That you have control of our lives. Even now, as you're in control of this church, and you will get this church out of here. There's no doubt about it. You will have a bride in the resurrection. We see that. We saw the messenger of the hour. We saw him fulfill his role. And Father, we're going to fulfill ours by your grace. And we believe that, Lord. Help us on that, Lord. And rather, we might say, Lord, help us to let you help us. Or whatever it is, O God. And not walking you, not giving us a spirit of fear, but of love and of courage and a sound mind. Your yoke is easy, your burden is light. We've been taught all these things wrong for so many years. Lord God, where have been the pastors, been true pastors? Where have been the teachers, true teachers? We haven't had them. Something has been wrong, desperately wrong. You've been maligned, misrepresented, O God. Help us not to misrepresent. Lord, there's one thing, may we not misrepresent you by word, by deed, or anything else, Lord. We've had a prophet here, I believe, that never misrepresented you. We might not have understood him, that's sure, like I brought up this morning, Lord. Things we can't understand, they're hard. But they're there. And we look at everything he said, it lines up. Bringing us right down to the place where an abundant entrance, as Peter said, into the kingdom is right here at hand, at this last hour, waiting for the resurrection. Help us, O God, we pray, to be the Christians you want us to be. That's our heart's desire. And we made it public, Lord. It's been public. Help us, all of us, this morning in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, bless us in the little bit of time we have necessary.